What's up, everybody? My name is Lee. Some of you guys might know me as Intuition, and you're tuned into Kinda Neat. Thank you guys again for tuning in. I appreciate it as always. Make sure you guys subscribe to us on iTunes or Stitcher. That helps a lot. Download the little application called Podcasts on your iPhone or Android device, and then search for us and subscribe and listen on a car ride, listen on the train, listen wherever the fuck you may be commuting. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. You can follow me at It's Intuition. You can follow my man Ben Shim behind the boards making the shit sound buttery at I Am Database. Follow us as a unit on Twitter at That's Kinda Neat, Facebook.com/Kinda Neat. You can leave us comments, or please actually send me private messages on Facebook after you like that page and ask me questions so that I can give advice, give my shitty advice to you guys, the advice that I don't deserve to be giving. You can follow us on YouTube, YouTube.com/That's Kinda Neat. Make sure you subscribe on there. New video drops every Wednesday, generally, unless we have somebody in that's not a musician. And then everything is wrapped up in a pretty package on KindaNeat.net. Thank you guys again for tuning in. We appreciate it. Speaking of advice, I have been getting a lot of questions about breakups. And so I want to talk about breakups because I've been giving a lot of people that I know in real life breakup advice. And I've also been getting questions about breakup advice, i.e. like ways to break up and just kind of like my concepts about like the appropriate amount of contact after a breakup and shit like that. And I want to say that the older you get and the more of an adult you become, you never really feel like an adult, but the older that you get and the more of an adult that you technically become on paper, the harder it gets to make a clean breakup. What happens is you end up getting in these relationships. They may last a few months, they may last a few years, but you develop a certain amount of comfort with the person that you're with. And that comfort can lead to laziness. You know what I mean? And so what happens is you get in a relationship, you decide that something has gone wrong and you want to break up. But what happens is you realize once you break up that all of a sudden it's hard to be alone. You know what I mean? And it's hard to be out there in the dating market. It's hard to be meeting new people. It's just kind of hard to be back on the dating market and realizing that, like, wait, this is a cold, scary world when you're all alone. And so your tendency is to just call back the person and end up kind of getting into a fucking on again, off again relationship. And I do this all the time, so don't follow my fucking own advice, but I don't follow my own advice, but I feel like you should, and I try to do it better. You end up in these on again, off agains, and the point is that once a relationship is broken to the point where you feel like you should separate yourself from the other person, you need to learn your lesson and realize that, like, it's never gonna get better than that. Once the honeymoon phase is over, and then you start seeing someone's real flaws that don't intermingle with your own flaws, and you decide that it's to the point where you can't be around them, your mind is never going to change about that because people don't change. So you need to fucking break off contact clean. You can't be lazy because, like I said, the laziness leads to that comfort and the comfort leads to fucking sadness around each other. And what I've been hearing a lot from people is that, like, well, I feel bad if I don't respond to their texts or if I don't answer their calls. Like, I'm scared that they're going to be mad or this and that and the other. But the point is that we are humans, and what happens on this planet only happens in our own fucking heads. You know what I mean? Meaning that, in my opinion, we are social individualists. We like to be around people, but we only know what exists in our own fucking head. And so your happiness is very important to your fucking livelihood. You know what I'm saying? And so if you making someone else unhappy by either getting out of a relationship with them because you know it's not working, or not responding to their texts or phone calls after the relationship is over because you know that that will make them unhappy or perhaps even unstable, you still need to put your foot down, because someone else's temporary unhappiness, and let's face it, like, a breakup is only leads to temporary unhappiness. People will get over it. That temporary discomfort of being alone and making someone else very sad is worth your long-term happiness. So don't get into the cycle of on again, off agains, because all that happens is you end up feeling like you're stuck. You feel like you owe something to this person for some reason. And truth be told, if, like, whoever loves the least in a relationship is in control of the relationship, meaning there's no two people on the planet that love each other an equal amount. They both love each other, but someone definitely loves the other one more, and that means that they're in control. So if you're the one doing the breaking up, and then you allow somebody to get back with you into an on-again, off-again relationship, and you know that it's never going to work in your head, but your refusal to put your foot down and not be lazy and let them back into your life, that is only going to lead to their misery in the long run, because one, you're wasting their time. Two, you're stopping them from meeting someone that will be able to make them happy or help in their happiness. And three, you're also taking away from your own happiness because it's stopping you from going to meet somebody new. So my whole theory about breaking up is that you should be very strong about it. You should put your foot down. My fucking whole thing is like, I need to delete everybody from every social media. I got to stop on Twitter. I got to stop on Instagram. I got to stop on Facebook. I got to delete their number from my fucking contacts, because otherwise I'm going to end up having a couple drinks and I'm going to be calling to try and get some pussy later. Like, that shit happens. And the same thing, they might call you up and try to get some fucking dick later too. You know, you never know. Like, that loneliness is a motherfucker. And with a couple drinks in you, all of a sudden, one drunken night of like, oh, I miss you so much, turns into fucking 6 more months of misery because you're like, shit, I should be out meeting other people. So you can't do that to yourself. You got to break up. And now, ways that I've found that help this is like, you make a list. This will sound stupid, but I make a lot of lists in my life. I make to-do lists, you know, I make grocery lists, I make fucking email contact lists, et cetera, et cetera. But when I break up with someone or when someone breaks up with me to help me get over it, I'll make a list of all the things I don't like about that person. And I'll bet you anything, if you're going through a breakup right now and you make a list of the things that you love about somebody versus the things that you hated about them, that fucking hate list is going to be longer than the love list. And anytime that you're feeling weak, you got to bust out that fucking list about the things that you hate to remind yourself. You know what I mean? The last time that I was in an actual relationship where I said I love you to somebody was a few years ago. And I may have already talked about this on the podcast, but I was dating a girl for a little while. And it was very like, I guess in hindsight, it was still kind of in the honeymoon phase. And we hadn't really gotten to the thick of it. We weren't living with each other or anything like that. But she went on vacation and she met a dude on vacation. And then when she got back from vacation, things kind of fizzled out pretty quickly. Like, after a couple weeks, she decided that, like, oh, we need to break up. But then it was like getting to that point where we were about to be in an on again, off again, you know, like we started sleeping together again. And then all of a sudden one day she just stopped talking to me. And it turns out that the dude that she met on vacation had moved to LA, and within 4 months they got married to each other. Now, this shit was fucking devastating to me. I was very heartbroken because I was super into this girl. And the one thing that truly fucking helped me out from like not being a kook and like blowing up her phone all the time or fucking, you know, doing like lurking her Facebook or doing whatever the fuck was a list. Because it turns out that even though I was really into this girl, there were still more things I didn't fucking like about her than I did like about her. And so, you know, I could just sit there and remind myself like, oh, wait, like, I don't like this fucking trait. And then I would be like, OK, cool. So you don't have to send a fucking 3 a.m. drunk email to this girl right now because you don't care that much. And what happened is, after a few months, I got over it. And there have been times where I barely fucking remember her name, which is really crazy. And so, you know, I've got family members going, I just put them on blast. But my brother's going through a breakup right now. And then one of my really good girlfriends feels trapped in a relationship and she's trying to decide whether to break up. And, you know, talking to both of them, it's kind of the same situation where they've just been with this person so long that they like feel like they owe them something, and they just have that comfort, and that fucking discomfort of not having them around is so scary. But the truth of the matter is, if you do break that contact off and you do take the time to like delve into that scary world of loneliness for like a few weeks or a few months, like, you're going to meet somebody, and you're going to meet somebody better, and it's going to help everyone in the situation. It's not just going to help you, it's going to help them get over you, and it's also going to help them move on. You know what I mean? So yeah, breakups, be strong. Don't text your person. Don't call them. Don't get drunk and email them. Don't send them Snapchat pictures of your dick at 4 a.m. because you're drunk. Just avoid all of that shit and be uncomfortable for a while, because that short-term discomfort and unhappiness is going to lead to long-term happiness and comfort. And that is the end of my rant. And I hope that helps some of you that have been asking me about your breakup problems. And hopefully I will follow my own advice, because I just this year got into an on again, off again, and it was all bad. And I should have just known from the jump not to get back into it. So yeah, this week on the podcast. We have a young man named Kyle. I randomly kind of found out about him. I saw his video, you know, when it came, I saw a big video that like went, you know, got a mil or mil and a half or something like that, came out like 8 months ago called, I think it's called Keep It Real. And I was like, oh yeah, this is tight. You know, it's kind of like this Gambino vibe and I liked it. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then on a photo shoot, I ran into a dude who works at the label that he works at. And he was telling me about him. And I said, oh yeah, I think I heard of that guy. And I saw him in the office and then I got home and Googled and I was like, oh yeah, this kid's music's tight. So I started working to get him on the podcast. Turns out he's only 20 years old, you know, so I'm quite a few years older than him. But the crazy thing is he started working on rap when he was 11. So we've kind of been rapping for almost the same amount of time because I was a late bloomer into this shit. And so he's put his hours in and it was a really good conversation. He's from up in Ventura, just moved down to LA this year. And I like what he's got going on. His manager, Nolan, is a really fucking cool dude. We all got to chopping it up and I like their vibe. You know, I think some of you guys, particularly the younger crowd that tunes in, is going to vibe with his music. And I think all of you guys will enjoy this conversation because it's kind of this weird thing where there's this weird kind of half generational gap between us where like he was born when I was kind of in my formative rap years. You know, he was born the year that two of my favorite records of all time came out. But yet and still, even though I probably relate to his music or his parents' music taste more than his, like we still kind of probably listen to the same shit now. I'm in this weird like halfway between both of their age thing. And so it was an interesting dynamic. And I was very impressed by his work ethic and the things he had to say. And so I think you guys will enjoy this conversation. So yeah, without further ado, here's the conversation with my man Kyle.
What type of mic is this?
I don't know what type of mic that is. This is a Neumann.
Yeah, which
is,
that's really good.
I know. I could see you trying to sit in my seat and take my like, I'm like, nah, you don't get the buttery voice for the podcast. You can have it for the performance, but not for the podcast.
No, that's how it went.
Yeah, man. So you're a youngster. We're like a half generation apart. You were probably born when I was like maybe in high school.
I was born in 93.
Oh, yeah. Like I was like
in. You were in high school?
I was in.
You were in the thick of.
No, actually, I was in seventh grade in 93. But 93 was a very, it was a pivotal year for me because that was when I really, really got into rap music.
Oh, okay.
That was the year that Doggy Style came out.
Oh, God.
And it was the year that
that's epic.
Wu-Tang 36 Chambers came out. I actually have a Wu-Tang tattoo.
Really?
Yeah. I have a carton of cream and it says Dollar Bill.
So, wow. I wish you guys could see this. This is actually really tight.
Yeah, yeah. It's like an ironic Wu-Tang tattoo. I always said that I wanted to get a Wu-Tang a Wu-Tang tattoo without the Wu symbol on me. You know what I mean? Just to show my backpacker.
It's got a jar of cream. Is that a jar?
It's like a carton. You know, it's like a little carton of cream. Like you would pour. It's like, you know, half and half maybe.
Like you pour coffee creamer.
Exactly. Where were you born in 1993?
93, I was born in Northridge, California.
Oh, shout out to Northridge.
Yeah, Northridge.
Home of the huge earthquake.
Yeah, home of the, fucked up earthquake.
And was like that before 90, or after
no,
you?
No, it was after. That was in 94.
Oh, so you were a year old.
Yeah.
Were parents freaking out about that?
I don't think my mom was there randomly. I think everybody was in Big Bear or some shit, but my grandma and grandpa were.
Yeah.
And our house randomly was untouched.
Really?
Yeah. It was weird. Our entire street was demolished, though.
Really?
But, like, our shit was not fucked with.
No kidding.
The good Lord.
Yeah.
The good Lord.
Shout outs to Jesus.
Prayer hands. You feel me? Prayer hands for the Lord.
What were your parents doing at the time when you were born?
Damn, this is going to sound bad. I want to say nothing, really. Yeah. I want to say probably just...
Were they young?
Yeah. My mom was probably, I think my mom was 21 when she had me.
Yeah.
Yeah. My mom's 21 and my dad's like, I don't know, probably like 22 or some shit.
Did they get married?
Yeah, they got married.
Nice. Were you the catalyst of them getting married?
Damn. You know what? I need to learn more about my mom and dad's marriage shit. But I don't know. They might have been married when they had me.
Yeah. Are they still together?
No, they're not still together.
What age did they split up?
These get mad personal.
That's what I do.
I don't know. I know they were separated. They weren't divorced though, but they were separated for like probably like my entire like as long as I was like conscious.
Cognizant.
You know, yeah, like
yeah,
we were always it was mad normal.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying. I still see my dad all the time, and we were all like still together and whatnot. But it was just like
Just they're didn't separated. Work out. Yeah. You so you live with mom though.
Yeah, I live with my mom. My
yeah, are both sides of like the grandparents all in the same area too? Kind of.
Well, it's random. This is actually such like a fucking. This could be like put in a book or some shit, right? Okay, so basically, both sides of my family are from St. Louis originally.
Really?
Born in like entire generation in St. Louis.
Yeah,
and they've all lived there their entire life. Both families. Like, for however fucking many years.
But then your folks just and randomly met in Northridge?
Yeah. And then and then randomly, like, my mom and my dad were born in St. Louis and both, like, grew up, like, kind of same area.
But didn't know each other.
And then they both moved to the Valley randomly and then met each other.
Were they going to school in Northridge or something?
Yeah, they were. My mom actually went to Northridge. She went to Northridge for a little bit. There's hella schools in the Valley. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
it's so big. But yeah, they ended up going to the same school. And my dad was like a break dancer or some shit.
Nice.
So
hell yeah.
She thought he was hella cool or something.
Yeah, yeah. What is your ethnicity? Are you like mixed or just light-skinned today?
You know, I'm just light. No, I'm just I'm mixed. My mom's white and my dad's black.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nice.
I'm a African. You feel me?
Yeah, same.
Down the middle.
No, did the grandparents still live out in St. Louis then?
Nah. Because, you know, their parents had to move out here.
Oh, okay.
So it's like just their little
thing. So these two families from St. Louis just move out
at the same time.
To the same area.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Same time.
That's super weird.
It's hella weird. It's the weirdest thing I've ever, like, and then they randomly meet.
Yeah. You got brothers and sisters?
Yeah, I got brothers and sisters.
How many?
I got a baby brother, Pickle. And my older brother, Chris, and I have a little sister, Amelia.
And are they half brothers, half sisters?
Can I say their hood names?
Yeah, please do.
Well, Ian's real name is actually Ian, but his hood name is Pickle.
Yeah.
Chris's hood name is Ugly. And Amelia's hood name is Millie Moolah.
Okay.
Yeah, and so.
Why don't you have a hood name?
I'm just the least street of the whole team, you know what I'm saying? They kicked me out the hood for not putting in enough work.
Are you the eldest?
Nah, I'm the I was technically the middle child before my baby brother was born.
Okay.
But I'm the second
eldest. Oldest.
Yeah, second oldest.
Yeah, yeah. You close with all your siblings?
Yeah, super close.
Yeah, where they all live out here close. Too?
They live in Ventura now. They live in Ventura.
Yeah.
Still, yeah.
So you're born in Northridge in the Valley, and then did you go to elementary school out in the Valley and shit too?
Yeah, I went to Garden Grove, and then I went to Cantera. Cantera was tight. Oh my God, I love that place. And then I went to Northridge Middle School, and before I could go to high school, I went to Cleveland for like a summer or something.
Like Cleveland,
school.
Ohio?
No, Cleveland High School.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
Yeah, no, okay.
I always say that. I was like, I came from Cleveland. Like,
yeah.
Ohio. Yeah, and then after that, I moved to Ventura.
To Ventura.
Moving on up.
to the west side.
It was totally like a Jefferson's fucking moment for sure. For me.
Yeah, I believe it. Ventura is a very nice place.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. One of my first jobs out of college was in Ventura too. And I used to always eat at this barbecue place.
Okay.
It was like a shack on the side of the road.
What was it called?
Fuck. I don't know. It used to have like
in the sauce or something.
It's in the sauce.
Yeah,
in the sauce.
It's in the sauce. Yeah,
dude, I used to eat there fucking every day for lunch.
I used to eat there every day.
That place is bomb. Like, it got to the point where like the people that work at a place start to know your name.
But then
they start to know like what you're gonna order, and then you start to feel like a fucking lonely asshole because you're there every day for lunch.
Yeah.
And it's like,
it was across the street from Ventura High School where I went to.
Yeah.
So I ate at that bitch. Every day.
Right after I graduated from Brooks, I was working at a little like portraits. I was probably the portrait place that took your high school portraits, to be honest.
Oh really?
Yeah, I used to work there as a retoucher.
They fucked me up, by the way. I just want to.
I believe
that
it. It's probably because I retouched it.
They slayed me. But anyways, yeah.
So I used to eat there, and I was telling you earlier, like my grandmother used to live in Ohio, so Ventura was like one of my fucking. It holds a special place in my heart, and it sounds like it holds a special place in yours too.
Yeah, it really does, man.
What was the move like?
My gramps randomly like was working for this dude. Who passed away, and he was like, my gramps was like his only friend.
Mm-hmm.
And so he left in this house in Ventura. Cause like we couldn't afford to move to Ventura.
Wait,
and
your grandfather just had a friend who left him a house?
Yeah.
Like, that is fucking tight.
Yeah. Cause like he became his only like friend. The dude was mad old. And he ended up leaving him a house.
Similar to the people, it's in the sauce for me.
Really?
No, I'm just kidding.
Okay,
only Fred. Yeah. They're like, oh, we're gonna leave this place to Lee. No.
Yeah. But, and so then we moved there, and it was like, It was totally like change of life. It was totally different.
Yeah. How many people moved into the house?
8.
Wow. How big was
We're like, hey man, we all on. We going to Ventura, bro.
Yeah.
It was a big enough house that, you feel me, fit us all. It was probably like,
so what, it was grandma and grandpa?
Grandma and grandpa.
A couple aunts and uncles or something?
My aunt and my cousin, mm-hmm. my older cousin, and then me, my sister, my brother, and my mom, and wow. we all lived there.
Yeah.
And we had it cracking.
How many people did you share a room with?
For a second, like, at times, like, 3, but then, like, 2 most consistently.
Yeah, yeah. 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 What part of town was it in?
It was in Ondelant, you know, Ondelant, like the East End. It was in the East End of Ventura.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
So did this change your lifestyle in that, like, all of a sudden you're, like, going to the beach and shit?
Yeah, it changed that shit up completely. Because living in the valley, like, when you went to the beach, it was, like, an entire day
thing. That's a trek. Yeah.
Yeah, it was a hell of a trek. It was, like, the entire day.
You got a pack of cooler and an umbrella.
All that shit. And then it was just, like... Yeah, nah, it was just so much
simpler. All of a sudden you're just, like, skating down to the beach.
Yeah, it was just life was just, like, you just saw, like, more, like... Like simple, like natural, like beauty shit. Like it's just life was like the landscape was so like relaxing. You know what I'm saying? As compared to like the valley, everything stacked on top of each other. You can't see, like, when you just look down the street, you just see fucking lights. You feel me?
Yeah.
Just stop signs.
Can't
for
see
miles.
No stars.
Yeah, yeah. You don't see shit like that. Yeah. And then when I'm and like I've always wanted shit like that. You know, like in the valley, I would just be like, come home, stare at a palm tree.
Yeah.
Like, you feel me? Like, the one palm tree we have, and like, watch wind move the fucking leaves and shit like that was like really relaxing to me. And then you just went to Ventura, and that's all it is. It's like, fucking just,
Yeah, like, Ventura, man, it's really like a beachy town, even in the smells. Like, as you get, you can smell the beach from the mall and shit.
Yeah, oh my God. Me and Nolan were driving home because we live in downtown now, but we were driving home to Ventura like last week or some shit.
Yeah.
I literally, and like, downtown smells like ass.
Downtown LA. Downtown
it's
LA.
So bad.
You can't really ever tell if it's like human feces or dog feces that you're smelling.
I just go ahead and always take the risk that that's man shit.
Yeah.
So don't step in it.
Yeah.
But, and we rolled down the window. And I just started laughing. It smelled so good. I was laughing. I was
there's like, something about like when because I drive to Santa Barbara a lot still. Like I was telling you that you know that's where I was going to college, and so my producer still lives there. So I go up there to record, and I always, you know, like when you're driving up the 101 and you go like kind of there's like under this overpass, but then right to your left hand side there's like the Ventura Pier.
Oh yeah, when you're going like up to Santa Barbara.
Yeah. When you're going up to Santa Barbara and you see the Ventura Pier right there, and it's like there's that like little seafood place right there on the end,
that neon sign
right there is when I'm like, oh man, I'm in like Central California now, and it fucking smells better, and you want to roll down the windows and shit, you know what I mean, stick your hand out the window,
dog paradise. That's just what I would describe it as. And it's like funny because people who live there know it's good, and people who live there their whole life know it's good, but they don't really like, you can't really appreciate that place unless you just lived in somewhere it's like where motherfuckers are just stacked on top of you, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And it's like going out there really fucking fuck up your head, like change your whole thought.
I was
process.
I want to just reprimand Ben really quickly for being so late today. So I am database was very fucking late today. So I want to clown you real quick for that. But while we were waiting for him, we got into a conversation, and I was telling you, like, you know, Ventura is one of those places that that made me fall in love with California.
Yeah.
And one of the things that I really noticed about it as a kid when I was like 15 going down to visit cousins and shit, it seemed like it was straight out of a fucking Sublime video, dude.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is just in, like, white tees and Chucks and cut-off Dickies.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, dude, we would go to parties there as 15-year-olds, and, like, the parents would be out there drinking with the kids, like, oh, hey, dude, you want a Tecate? Like, it's cool, man. As long as I'm here, it's not illegal.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, you smoke weed? Let's smoke weed. Like, it's such a fucking California beach town, you know?
It's as California as it fucking is.
Yeah, and there's, like,
really,
you know,
is.
And then in Oxnard, there's hella lowriders. Shit, so it's like you just get this like really big
California, it makes you fall in love with being like from California, and like being from the valley, it's like I was just born, it's like I didn't really like, it's not like California extreme, you know what I'm saying? It's just like really, it's just like, I don't know, it's like
it's suburbs
and shit. It's just subtle, you know what I'm saying? But like going to Ventura is like, no, you're on the fucking beach, you feel me? Like this is it's as California
beaches
as it
up there in Carpinteria,
and that's like that's has a lot to do with like what influenced like you know what I'm saying, my music and like my style is like, being in, just living there and falling in love with like that shit, you know what I'm saying?
For sure. What were you like as a student in the Valley? Student? Yeah, were you a good student? Smart guy?
Yeah, you know what, I was always smart, like I always passed everything.
Yeah.
But I was just like, I just, if I didn't love the subject, like if it wasn't history or some shit like that, I would just do enough to like get by. Like I was sleeping through hella classes. I remember one time I was asleep the whole class. The teacher was like, yo, you know, Kyle, you're supposed to do like this whole study guide packet for this test coming up. And I was like, honestly, bro, I was like, I don't need to do the study guide. Like, I already know what's going down.
Yeah.
And like the whole class was doing the study guide. And he was like, what the fuck? You can't just say that. And I was like, look, if I ace the next test, if I don't miss a question, I don't ever want to do a study guide again. And he was like, and if I didn't, I was going to have to like, some bad shit was going to happen.
Right.
And then like the study guide came and I didn't miss a fucking question. I was like, all right, so I'm not doing this shit no more.
That's
and then for
so
the rest
funny.
Of the year, I just didn't.
How old were you when that happened?
That was like, I was probably like 14 then. That was actually in Ventura. I was probably like 14 then. I was just like, bro, like I'm, you know, so like I could have.
So stuff kind of came easy for you.
It just came easy. So I wasn't, and it wasn't really, I wasn't like in love with like fucking, I'm smart. You know what I'm saying? So like, I like, instead of like taking hella electives, and instead of taking hella shit to like focus on getting into college and shit, I took like drama class like four times or some shit in a day. I just like,
which kind of maybe consciously or subconsciously helped you gather like a stage presence.
I come from like a musical theater background.
Our mom and dad musical or what?
My dad's a rapper and whatnot.
Get the fuck out.
My dad's a rapper.
Did he ever like make it anywhere?
I mean I know,
like, my dad's like, DJ Quick.
My dad is Pac, not just kidding. My dad was randomly like Pac or some shit. My mom was like Lauryn Hill, like some one random combination.
I'm like, wait, can we get your mom on the podcast?
That'd be amazing. I don't know if Lauryn Hill does
that. How long was your dad rapping?
I think he was rapping like his entire life too. And he did like a lot of like, you know what I'm saying? He was rapping and shit before it was like everybody who rapped had a chance of popping off.
Yeah, because
it was like mad, like fucking.
Well, yeah, in 93, when you were born, it's like in order to record, it was kind of like you had to know somebody in the know.
Or you had to be the tightest.
Yeah.
You feel me? He was doing it back like when it was like, it was just like kids like starting trends and shit.
Yeah.
He swears to God that he was the first person to do the like reverse clothes thing.
Oh, he and beat so, ABC to or crisscross
yeah,
to it?
Yeah, so he's like, his whole thing is like, he don't fuck with crisscross because they took his style.
Oh,
that's
shit.
Like, you feel me? That's like,
damn.
That's like his, I don't know. That's like his whole like, he swears to God that they took his style and he don't fuck with him. And he's he gonna catch him slipping.
You hear that, Jermaine Dupri? You're about to catch a bad one.
You're about to catch a bad one
from
bro.
Kyle's dad.
Yeah. He's how that. Yeah, he'd be whooping ass.
You heard his music?
I've never actually heard one of my dad's recorded songs. He did say one time he was working at a liquor store in L.A. and he said Dre walked in.
Get out.
And he said that, and he was working there when Dre was ordering his shit or whatever. He was like, yo, like, let me rap for you or whatever. And he said he rapped for him. And this epic fail story. He said he rapped for him, and Dr. Dre was like, this shit is tight, and gave him a number to call to the studio, and he said he lost it.
Get out.
I was like, bruh.
Your life could have been very different.
Yeah.
Wow, that's crazy. I thought you were going to be like, he rapped for Dre, and then 2 weeks later, the song came out on a Snoop record or something.
Yeah.
That would have been awesome,
and
too.
2 weeks later, he ghost wrote The Chronic. So I'm not,
your dad is amazing.
Yeah.
That's tight. But did he listen to a lot of rap, or what did he listen to?
He listened to
it. So is he putting you up on game from
first,
early age?
Yeah, randomly, I didn't know what rap was until I was like 10.
Yeah.
Because I live with my mom in my entire life, and
your mom's a cracker, so she's listening to country music.
God.
No, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, she was. My mom was listening to like Nirvana and like Sublime and shit like that. You
that
know
makes
what I'm
sense.
Saying?
Yeah.
And Weezer and shit like that. And that was her shit. And back then, I you feel me? All you could listen to was on the radio, or like what was on TV or some shit like that. And like my grandparents ran the TV. I wasn't hearing shit on the TV unless it was Dean Martin or like some random country song.
Yeah.
And then my mom was driving the car and all I heard was like K-Rock and shit. And I remember I was with my dad and then he played that old Dirty Bastard song.
Shimmy Shimmy Yeah.
Now the
Brooklyn Zoo.
Now the hey, Dirty.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, so, oh, man. That's way
first,
later.
That's the first song. That's the first song. That's the first rap song I'd ever
heard.
That's
so funny, dude.
And that's like, that has a lot to do with like what I do now.
Yeah.
But I was like, damn, like, this is tight.
That was like Khalees's big debut into the world, too. That's Khalees singing the hook. Yeah. Did you know that?
You just actually just dropped that on my head. That's actually tight.
It's really funny, like, because I'm like this half generation older than you and probably half generation younger than your parents. So, like, I'm like in this weird.
In the middle. Somewhere.
Yeah. When you're like, yeah, my mom used to listen to Sublime and Nirvana and Weezer, and my dad used to listen to rap. I'm like, yo, I fucking listen to all the same shit that your parents did. But I also probably listen to the same shit you do now, which is so weird. But anyway, I mean,
that's cool. That's a great place to be.
It is. It's cool. It's strange getting older, though. Anyhow, that's a whole different aside. So your dad plays Old Dirty Bastard featuring Khalees.
Yeah.
I mean, produced by Pharrell.
Oh, yeah. I just found that out.
Produced by the Neptunes.
I just found out like how long Pharrell's been the shit. Like,
you know what his first?
It was the something about Shake the Room or something?
No,
yeah.
Shake Your Rump.
Shake Your Rump, yeah.
All
yeah,
I want to do is a mazoom zoom zoom when he was 17. Yeah.
I found that. I was like,
with Teddy Riley.
That was 92, right?
Yeah, with Teddy Riley. I used to fucking call in. We had one radio station that played pop music because I'm in North Pole. I'm from Alaska, like I was saying. And it was 98.1. And I would fucking call in like 4 times a day going, hey, will you guys play Shake Your Rump? Because they would never play. I'm like, will you play Shake Your Rump, please? To the point where one day I was listening and the host was like, I'm gonna play this song because we keep having this young kid call in and request it and it's getting on my nerves. And I was like, oh my god, he's talking about me.
That's
anyways.
Actually amazing. But I found that out and I was like, wow, Pharrell's a freak of nature. How is he like been on forever and not aged
and still a trendsetter
and he just made like 2 of the biggest songs this year.
I mean, that's like, damn, that's 20 years in the game and the dude still looks 13
and he's on fire. Like
it's crazy,
not falling on us tight.
It's crazy.
That was super tight.
That's the kind of longevity that you hope for.
Hell yeah.
So you hear that Old Dirty Bastard song and just instantly like clicks with you?
Because I've been writing songs and shit since I was like 6.
Really?
And I was writing hella poetry. I remember one time I won a poetry contest for all of LAUSD.
Wow.
And that's like millions
that's
of
big.
Kids. Yeah, that was big as fuck.
Do you remember the poem?
Yeah, it was about spring or something. Yeah. We had to write it about spring, and I was talking about deers and trees and all
shit
types
that
of
you don't get to
shit.
See in LA that much.
Yeah, no, I just remember we had our school only had trees on the middle, the outsides of it or whatever. Yeah. Like we probably had 10 trees to keep it a buck, and it was just around the gate.
Uh-huh.
And I remember I wrote that poem just looking at the trees and shit. And
I'm gonna steal that, by the way. Keep it a buck. I've never heard that.
Oh, keep it. Yeah, I got that this year from my friend CP. He's on my album. He's on To Do List.
Oh, okay, never mind. Yeah, he's CP than I know. Probably
he's from New York. And he says, "Hey, my nigga, I'm gonna keep it a buck with you."
I'm stealing that CP. I'm sorry because I've been saying keep it 100 so much.
Yeah, like, keep it a buck's amazing.
Yeah,
right?
That's tight. Yeah. So you guys had 10 trees at the middle school.
We didn't have a single tree in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Like, we had bushes and shit in the middle of it.
Yeah.
Or we did have one tree by the library, but you feel me? The trees were limited.
Yeah.
And we had them around the gate and I wrote that shit. And so I've been writing songs and poems and I was super into music.
Yeah.
And at 10, it's like when your brain is really starting to grow and you're really starting to like become good at something or like suck at something. And
you're really passionate about it.
And when I heard it, it was just on after that. I was like, man, this is like the tightest shit ever. And I just writing hell of just raps.
Yeah.
Just rap. You feel like rap?
Absolutely. You know, coincidentally, even being a half generation older than you, I have a very similar path in that, like, I started writing poetry when I was 8 or 9 in third grade. We had to write a journal entry, and I asked my teacher, we had to write a paragraph every day, and I said, hey, instead of writing a paragraph, could I just write a poem? Because a paragraph seems so long, even though it was only it was 3 sentences. It was a paragraph. I was like, can I write a poem every day instead? And she's like, yeah, but it has to be 4 lines. So it had to be 4 like rhyming lines. And I was like, oh yeah, cool. Because that like in my head seemed easier than writing a paragraph, you know?
That's way easier.
But also coincidentally, you say you only had fucking 10 trees at your whole school. I actually grew up the school that I went to was actually, the city was named Tree Town USA.
Oh my
God. That was an award they won because we had the most trees. Per square mile of any city in the country.
Oh my god.
How about that? I fucking just grew up in the jungle.
Yeah, you guys probably had like highly evolved birds and shit.
Bald eagles and shit.
Oh my god.
Like, it was crazy. Like,
picking up
Alaska's
babies,
fucking
flying away.
Alaska's crazy, man. So, That's cool. So you're writing poetry and you win an award. Like that must be.
And they got like published in some book. I don't know where the book is at now, but I remember winning that competition and I was like, oh, I won like a little competition. And then now I think about it and I was like, damn, there's, I don't know how many, there has to be at least 100,000 kids in like the LAUSD.
So many people have probably entered that.
Yeah. And then now I think, oh, okay. So that like, was like a little sign.
Low key, you were kind of a gifted youth.
I would say
you
so.
You just
when it
were
comes
lazy
to
about it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. I would say, yeah, kind of, because like right after especially with like rhyming words and thinking of words, you know what I'm saying, to say,
yeah,
it was for sure like I would say a gift, because after I heard that ODB song by 11, like I was at Skateland serving people in battles, you know,
really?
People were getting served
at
in rap battles. Yeah,
wow.
Yeah. I still remember like the first rap battle thing I wrote. You know, I was battling like some 21-year-old dude, and it was amazing.
Get the fuck out.
Yeah, he got slayed.
Do you remember the raps? Slayed.
Yeah, I remember the raps.
Let's hear okay, some of them. Hear? Give okay. me a sample.
Yeah, I'll give you the one that I used against this
dude.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
And,
oh, you know the whole thing?
Yeah.
Oh, kill him.
And back then, I used to do like hella. I mean, everybody rapped about guns. My favorite rapper when I was a kid was Jadakiss.
Okay.
So I was, you feel me? Everybody was getting shot.
Yeah.
Okay. In the rap, everybody was dying. Everybody was getting shot.
Yeah, yeah.
There was
yeah.
bombs being dropped.
Yeah.
I had at least
You're running
seven
from the
bitches.
Cops the whole time.
Yeah, I'm running from the cops, shooting people.
It's
and,
Grand
and
Theft Auto,
bitches.
Really.
Yeah, it was Grand Theft Auto raps for
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
It was No MC can't see me, so please be easy before you find yourself on TV. Yep, Channel 11, you and whoever stepping. I don't need any niggas, just a drink and my weapon. Guess I gotta show you what beef really about, because when I load the clip in, the bullet's gonna come out. Hey, yo, shit'll never faze me. He must be going crazy. He's talking about a fight, but I'll never hit a lady. He's supposed to be a blood. He don't gangbang. He gets gangbanged by his whole gang, man. You was never getting warmer. You thinking that you're hot, but I should warn you. I'm riding around in the Transformer. Nigga, you's a bitch, so I call it a purse snatch. This nigga thinks he's tough. I done fucked with worse cats. Catch you with your girl, better tell her to work that, because there's a good chance that my fifth gonna jerk back. My flow's come dumping. We gonna really see how much blood you got in you when your heart stopped pumping. 818 champ or flirt. Fucking with me, there's an 8 out of 8 chance you'll get hurt. You have now woken the beast, nigga. It's scare time. Homie, I got shit out to rearrange your hairline. You ain't got it yet, nigga. You better get right, because I'm gonna beat you till that fitted cap don't fit right. You're quick to beat. You're quick to leave. I'm quick to pistol whip this bitch for free. Yeah. Be no peace, y'all be deceased. My peace will lift this nigga up off his feet. Into the kid ICM, high-powered rifle, man. Be at your house at 9 p.m. with the 45 cock. So you better keep your windows shut, your heat tucked, and them fucking doors locked. My name was Kid Cash back then. I was
Whoa.
Like, it's Kid Cash coming. Hell coming with me. Ripping this nigga up until hell come and get me. Something else. I was like,
as an 11-year-old?
That was 11, yeah.
Wow.
And I was like, everybody was dying, bro. There was no mercy.
Yeah.
I had hell. My face was tatted up. You
no, but
me?
I got to say that I'm very impressed that you wrote that as an 11-year-old. And then I'm trying to put it in perspective, because that was 9 years ago. So that was like in 2003.
That was hella long ago. And I was
But at the same time, I'm going, that's a fucking advanced rhyme for an 11-year-old. But then that's the thing, is I think about it like when I was 11, it was 1992 when I was 11. So like fools weren't rapping like that. Fools were like fucking crisscross was the shit in 1992. Correct. You know what I'm saying? So like as an 11-year-old, my rhymes would have been nothing compared to that. Fucking.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm saying. In the beginning, like my influences.
Yeah.
All of my first rappers I fell in love with were all like East Coast, like punchline rappers, like Big L and like Nas and like Jadakiss.
And that's
them.
The crazy shit that I, being the age that I am in the generation, like I said, that in between generation that I'm from, that's the crazy shit, is that like kids your age, they grew up on rap as rap was already developed.
Yeah.
And when I was growing up, I was literally born the year that
like rap was,
hit the mainstream. Like in 81, like that was when the first, like, I think that was like one of the first years that like rap was hitting the charts, you know what I'm saying? And so rap, I had to grow up as rap grew up and styles have developed as I've developed.
Yeah.
Whereas like, dude, rap was a fucking thing when you were 11.
Yeah,
and like you had people who had already mastered the craft that you could learn from.
Had Nas and motherfuckers like that to be like, this is how you rap.
And when you were 1 year old, that's when fucking Illmatic came out. You know what I'm saying? That's when Illmatic fucking dropped the that's when it changed the game.
Yeah.
You know? So yeah, I don't know. I think that's just so interesting. Because like we were talking about earlier, like young cats like fucking Earl and these crazy like prodigious rappers and dudes like you that fucking have been even growing up around rap. Like,
it's like we just have a better blueprint to, like, because, you know, it's
you
like
you can choose your idols better.
Yeah, yeah. And it's like your brain, like, people don't understand, like, our brains have mad potential to do shit. Yeah. You know, and it's like, as a little kid, it's like, if you're, I mean, not to say Will Smith, that's one of my biggest influences too. Yeah. It's like the Fresh Prince.
Fresh Prince. But it's like, I'll always remember him as that.
If I'm a little kid and, like, I'm first hearing Fresh Prince, I'm a rap like Fresh Prince.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? But if I'm a little kid and the first song, like, I'm, or like one of the songs I'm listening to is New York State of Mind.
Yeah.
I'm going to learn how to do that too.
Exactly.
You know
exactly
what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Like, I had mad lyrical raps like blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And then like I heard like Jadakiss. That last rap was obviously hella like Jadakiss influenced.
It was
know?
Like a smack battle rap.
Yeah. It's like one of the smack DVD, you know.
Yeah.
We about to, you know, we got my man's Kid Cash.
Smack.
No, but
fucking yeah, that's the crazy shit now. And like and now the media moves so fast that like kids that are 16 now are gonna be influenced by motherfuckers like you.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden there's gonna be this kid who's like gonna, you know what I mean, like
it's just
there's kids that are being influenced by kids that are only a few years older than them, and then they can sound exactly like them because your brain can sponge things up like that.
It's only gonna get more and more and more. More technical aspects of all music are always only going to grow because there's always somebody that comes out and learns how to do something that nobody else could do before. And then when somebody else is born, their first person they hear is that.
Yeah.
And they're going to learn how to do that better than that person.
Well,
you know what I'm saying?
But then there's a certain plateau with it where you only want to get so technical before it becomes unlistenable.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And I
think that your music is an example of, like, you obviously have a technical background, but you've learned how to fucking tone it down and make it catchy.
Totally, yeah. And that's one of the most important parts of my career.
Yeah.
Or just making my career was that, like, yeah, like, because I remember when I was a little kid, I had no swag. Like, I was just rapping about everybody was dying. It was hella technical.
Yeah.
But it really had no, I didn't have a sense of, like
intangibles.
And, like, delivery. Like, how to say something cool. You know what I'm saying?
And that's something that I learned that it took me a while to really understand, but at a certain like when I was like maybe 18, somebody told me like, yo, sometimes rapping, it's not about what you're saying. It's about the words that you don't say.
Yeah.
And it's about the things that you don't say. And I was like, that took me forever to understand. But at a certain point, it's like, yeah, it's your breath control, your delivery, your vocal tone. And
And the person who did that for me the most was Fresh Prince.
Mm-hmm.
I remember being able to, and I remember being able to come up with all these lyrics and shit and hella fast. And I remember watching him and like his just whole like character was so like, but how, you know what I'm saying? And like the way he said shit was like, it was so simple, but it was like, that's what was tight about it.
I mean, Summertime was a real game changer for me.
Yeah, yeah.
That probably came out the year that you were born.
Probably.
Maybe even before that. But like, that was a game changer because
that
was like super modern at the time that it came out. It was like Will Smith had really stepped his swag game up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
People like him and like Craig Mack and like rhyming like, no, Craig Mack is that Ross from here to Tibet.
Yeah, yeah.
No, rhyming is not it. Like,
he
that
does that vocal
shit.
Stretching.
Yeah, and that became a big thing in my music too.
Yeah.
Like vocal, I still do that now, especially on my raps now. It's like vocal stretching, and I learned that from like him and like YG.
Yeah,
give it up to YG. But
shout
like,
out to YG.
Like people like that.
Shout
people
out Ty Dolla $ign.
Yeah,
I want to get both of those guys on this podcast.
Oh yeah,
I fucks with them.
Yeah, they're hard.
People that listen to me would probably be surprised for me to say that, but you're like a student of the game.
Yeah.
So you found out about this Old Dirty Bastard song, and then you went back and did your research because you've already shouted out Nas and you shouted Craig Mack. Like, Craig Mack, in the grand scheme of things, he got fucking forgot about, really.
Yeah, he's so under the radar, but he influenced me so tough.
Yeah.
Because I've always, like, been, like, a playful, like, you feel me, like, carefree type of dude, and his rhyme scheme was so, like, raw, but at the same time, it was so, like, there's a lot of, like, carefree elements to it, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's the shit he was saying. Like,
have you seen him lately?
No,
he's like in a cult now.
Oh God! Wait, like a satanic
not like a satanic cult, but he's like in some kind of like crazy evangelical religion. Like, I saw some video of him in a church, like fucking confessing but like dropping his name. He's like, I used to be known as Craig Mack, but now I'm like brother something something. You know,
damn.
Like it's like some white preacher is telling him like,
damn,
this boy came to the church, and I was like, whoa,
he changed. Yeah, he's out there.
It was weird, but anyways,
he's in Virginia somewhere.
So dad pick up on the fact that like Kyle has a penchant for this and I should like guide
early.
Him
my dad was for sure the first person that brought me. I remember he was taking me to studios when I was like 11 and 12.
Really?
Nothing ever like came, I didn't really have like a fucking, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But he took me there and he like would try to like force these people into like recording me and shit and like just, and like really made me take things serious from like a beginning, you know? Like, cause I think that has a lot to do with it because like I remember being 11 and 12 and like, oh yeah, now I'm going to the studio and I'm gonna try like going out to LA, trying to stay for a week just to get, cause he lived in Hollywood, trying to stay for a week just to get one time to record. So I just like, it was different for me from early age.
Yeah.
And like in
03, you're out here like, I'm about to meet Ja Rule.
I remember in 03, I met, well, not in 03, but sometime, you know, when I was hella young, I met some dude who had produced some Ludacris track. And I thought that was like the tightest thing ever.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, I gotta.
I love talking to dudes your age because everyone always shouts out Ludacris as like a big influence. You know what I'm saying? Ludacris is the shit. Dude, Ludacris is tight.
Ludacris is one of the best punchline rappers ever.
Very technical, too. He's a real rapper's rapper, but I feel like a lot of people don't realize that.
Because he just has such big songs.
Yeah.
He has such big, like,
huge hits.
Popular hits that it's like, oh, like, you know, but he's like, he can really to what rap. He's saying. Yeah.
Great voice also and good, like, delivery.
Inflection. He was like kind of like an ace across the board when it comes to that.
He gets slept on because I think, like, people just assume that he's corny or something, you know?
Yeah, well, I feel like people just assume that he's like, I mean, he kind of, not to say he's like past his time is over or something. He's for sure not over, but it's like, he's not as big as he was.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Those things fluctuate.
Those things fluctuate. But, like, he's still, like, if you go back and listen to it, it's like, that's a hit. That's a hit. That's a hit. That's tight. That's tight. This tight. Like,
I find it interesting that even though I keep bringing up, like, how much younger you are than me, like, really, it seems like you've put almost as much time. Like, we kind of started at the same time. Because I got a late start. I didn't start getting into a studio till I was 19, 20. And, like, here you are at 11. So you've been doing it now for 9 years.
Yeah. But I'll say all the shit I learned as a kid doesn't amount to anything I learned from, like, age 17 to, like, age 18 because I bought my own recording shit.
And something kind of clicks. After you've been doing it for a few years, something always kind of clicks. You know, like for me, nothing really started clicking with me until I was about 25, to be honest. Uh-huh. After I had been doing it for like 5 or 6 years, it's like something clicked. And well, actually, I remember what made it click for me is I got my tonsils taken out, my voice changed.
Yeah.
And it dropped a full octave.
And all of a sudden you were
And all of a sudden I was like, oh, I like found my swagger. Yeah. You know? Uh-huh. And so what was it for you? It was buying equipment.
For me, it was, I remember, because before that, all I could do was really imitate. You know what I'm saying? I could never hear my voice on a record.
Yeah.
All I could do is imitate how I heard somebody else's voice on a record. But then I remember buying my own equipment. I remember buying my own shit and just being like, yo, yeah. Like recording, you know what I'm saying? And practice recording shit. And then I eventually...
How did you save up to buy it? Or was it a birthday gift or something?
It was like basically like my grandparents, like they had been saving since like we're born. Like they save like $1,000 for us if we graduated high school or whatever.
Right.
And I couldn't afford the shit before. And I remember when I got that, and I'd actually bought some shit before, just a M-Box from working.
Mm-hmm.
My bad. But I didn't get my computer and shit until I graduated high school. But I bought a little audio box.
Yeah.
I still have it today.
Yeah.
It's a relic. I'm gonna hold on to it
for sure.
But I bought that through like working at like Vans and shit. And I was using my Embassy's like old ass, like 2006 computer.
Nice.
And then I just randomly, just made this one song and I was like,
did you like bootleg Pro Tools or something? What'd you start on?
No, I started on
Acid?
Not even Acid. It came with this thing called Studio One.
Okay.
You know what Studio One is?
No, I don't know Studio One. That sounds very rare.
Yeah, it is rare. It's rare as fuck because it only comes for this this one little random audio box I got, but I started on Studio One.
So it wasn't an M-Box?
Nah, I didn't even get an M-Box. M-Box is too popping for me.
Wait. Okay, never mind.
It was like $200 and
it
came
PC
with
program?
Everything. It's PC or Mac.
Okay.
It was just like the entire, like there was an M-Box for like 100 or 200. I think it was like 200 back then or something.
Now that I think about it, I think that we did play with Studio. It's kind of like a Pro Tools ripoff, but it's like gray. It has like a gray background.
Gray and blue.
Yeah.
It has like
blue scale. We did try that for a little while and I didn't like it.
Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard. But you feel me? It was affordable. And so I got that. Yeah. And I just made this one song and I was like, it just instantly, it just happens. You're just like, this is how I need to rap now.
Yeah.
And I just made this one song. And I was, I think it was, I actually, I put the video up. It was like the song called Lemonade.
Mm-hmm.
And I freestyled over like the Lemonade beat.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like coming up with like witty lines, but they were more like funny and shit I actually wanted to say, you know what I'm saying? Because before
then, this is what, like 3 years ago?
Yeah, before then I was just like rapping about like basic shit and I didn't know what to rap about. And then this one song, it was like funny and I really started just rapping about shit like that came from my head, like shit I thought was cool and funny.
Yeah.
And I was like, this is the reason this works is because it's actually you. And I was like, oh, you gotta like rap.
You gotta be yourself.
Like this now, yeah. But it's like, just hearing be yourself is like the hardest thing to take in until you just randomly do it.
Yeah,
you know?
Absolutely. I think a lot of rappers set themselves up for a loss because they start off pretending that
there's something they're not.
They get heard first as something that they're not. And then if you try to change that later to be it's more like yourself, you can't. You know what I'm saying? I think about dudes that are my age that were like super hardcore wiggas. Like white dudes that were super hardcore wiggas back in the day. Like Eminem to me has not aged gracefully because he's like still in fucking tracksuits and shit.
Yeah.
It's like,
yeah, he's still, yeah. I mean, that's back when like Justin Timberlake had a fade.
You know what
like,
I'm saying?
When it was cool. Like you could be an acceptable
wigger. He had cornrows. You know what I'm saying? Like, come on. Like that shit is crazy. He's one of the few that I was able to like age out of that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, because it's like, that's not cool.
Yeah. So I don't know. You make that song and you made a video for it, you said.
Yeah, I made that song and Nolan was like living, he lived down the street from me and he was like helping me out with some shit.
Nolan that you've mentioned twice is your manager now.
Yeah.
He's your manager. So now you guys in the audience know Nolan. Shout out to Nolan.
Shout out to No Dog. Banging the hood.
Young No No though.
Yeah, Young No No.
Yeah.
With no hoes.
Did you guys grow up together or was that?
Nah, I just remember I made this song for like my high school.
Yeah.
It was a ripoff of Wiz Khalifa's Black and Yellow.
Okay.
I called it Black and Gold.
Hell yeah.
Those were our colors.
Of course
he
did.
He had heard it and he like said something to me about it. And I was like, oh, like, thanks. We joke about it now.
Yeah.
Because I told him, I was like, oh, man, thanks for, like, being a fan of it. And he's like, yo, bro, like, I mean, I didn't say I was your fan.
But I mean, like, he's like, I don't see you as a fan. I'm not a fan. Like, I see dollar signs in
you.
Yeah,
he's like, I didn't say I was a fan, bro. I'm just saying, like, I don't know, some shit. But,
yeah.
Yeah, and then that's how we linked up. And he introduced me to Jacob Owens, who shoots a lot of my videos even now.
Yeah.
And shot all my videos back then. And he was like, yeah, it's like, let's shoot this Lemonade video.
Did you kind of understand? Here's another thing that I think is a cool difference between our generations is that like dudes my age that are rapping, they don't understand the fucking power of a video.
Yeah.
And I think that you're at your age, you understand that a song doesn't really exist unless it has a video. Almost.
Yeah. Especially now. Back then I was, even back then, when I first started putting out music, I was putting it out and it was like doing stuff for me.
Was this like 2010?
Yeah. It's like 2010.
Yeah.
Like
and that's like when Mac Miller really started catching on because
like
of video
2011,
stuff.
Yeah. Like, it's like
late 09, early 10.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I shot some videos with my friend Mitch. And they were all good and stuff too. And I shot hella covers. And that's how like my shit started getting traction. Everything we did needed like a video to it.
Yeah.
But when I got with Jake, it's like I got high quality ass videos just off the jump. You know what I'm saying? Like they were like the best like DSLR like videos like right from the jump. So that had a lot to do with like the quickness of like.
How did they find out about you?
Who, Jake?
Yeah.
Through Nolan. Nolan had
knew them.
Knew him.
Yeah.
Through a dude named Samson.
And who were they working on before they met you?
Jake and Nolan. Samson. It was an artist named Samson out of Ventura.
Yeah.
And he's super dope. He's still a great friend of mine.
Yeah. Shout out Samson.
Yeah. Shout out Samson, bro. He has a mind that could change Earth. Like real shit. It's that deep. It's intense. But yeah.
Young Captain Planet.
Yeah. Young Captain. Yeah. He's just like such a smart dude.
Yeah.
But they were working on him and then. They got introduced to me, and then we just started shooting videos and shit.
Does your team have like a background? I mean, did they go to school for video production or anything like that? Or like, how did they get into it?
Jake went to school for video production.
Cool.
And I think he just randomly said like, "Well, I want." Now he's been doing videos. He was doing videos when he was a little kid and shit.
Okay, word.
But yeah, he's hella good.
Yeah,
and I got those off the bat.
Yeah. So did Lemonade jump off? Was that your first video you put out?
Yeah. No, that's my first. My first music video I put out was called We Can.
How did it do?
It did really. They both got like 500,000 views now.
Yeah.
They both, all my original videos as KID did well. And it's because I shot this cover video with my friend Mitch.
Uh-huh.
And it got like, it has like a million some views now.
What was it?
It's a cover of Drake's Headline song.
Oh, tight.
And that's like, and all those views started trickling over to like my videos.
So when you say you covered it, what, like, did you do it word for word?
No. I just freestyled the whole thing.
You flipped it. Oh, yeah. You freestyled it.
I just freestyled the whole shit. And we were like,
off top.
And we were like, whatever happens, it was like real funny.
Yeah.
Type of thing. And I think that's why people fucked with it. Cause it was like, it was just real personal.
Like, and was it just like band. Shot on the, like, from the camera on your laptop or something?
No, it was, we had like a little Canon. Yeah. And it was just like shot like in a circle. Okay. And I just like did the whole thing off the top.
Did you stick with his melody? Like, I might be too strung out.
No. I did my own shit. But then when like the hook came, like, you know.
Okay. Tight.
Yeah. But I did like my
that's
own dope. Shit.
I'll have to go check it out. I love that song.
Yeah, you got to. That's one of the best songs. Ever.
Yeah, that's a great song. I actually, at the time that song came out, I was trying to prove a point to somebody about how easy it is to memorize raps. And so the first, I heard that song and I was like, all right, cool. I'm going to drive home from downtown to Culver City and I'm going to memorize this first verse by the time I get home, and then I'm going to call you.
Yeah.
And I did.
Wow.
Because it was like very, that song is so fucking catchy and easy to memorize.
Anytime you throw a melody over lyrics,
it makes it so much easier
to remember.
Well, yeah.
Because you're not going like, oh, what did you say here? You're going,
well, that's why the ABCs are a song, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, what did he say when he did?
Yeah.
Ba-na-na-na-na-na-na-na.
Yeah, exactly. No, definitely. And writing songs to a melody makes it that much easier too, writing lyrics. But anyway, so you did that, and that was the first video you put on your YouTube channel.
No.
The cover?
The first video I put on my YouTube channel was a video called The Feeling that was directed by my friend Mitch. And it was like, that one was really cool. You could tell we were fucking hell a little. That's why it's the very first video.
Yeah. What I'm getting at is that, like, it seems as if you went into this with a plan, like you knew how to utilize. Did you have other YouTube dudes who you kind of like had figured out, like, oh, wait, this can be a real resource?
It was really. Like I released like two mixtapes at first, and I wasn't really thinking about YouTube that much. But then, like, by the time, and those mixtapes were hella old. I released like three mixtapes in 2010.
Okay.
And then by like the third, by the second one, I was all like, oh, like, we need to like shoot videos and stuff. And Nolan had been showing me like people and shit on, and this is when I got my first computer. You feel me? I didn't like.
Yeah, yeah.
And Nolan had been showing me people that are like shooting videos and shit, like, and it's getting traction.
Was he showing you?
I think I remember him showing me like the French video, and I remember watching the Mac Miller shit, and being like, oh, they just did this like this, just like how we're doing. We need to put these up.
And then I remember
Mitch had told me when Headlines dropped, Mitch and my brother Chris, and they were like, man, this song just came out like 19 hours ago.
Yeah,
we uploaded
it's gonna
our
blow
video
the fuck up.
Within 19 hours of that song being released.
That was
YouTube.
Smart. That was smart.
And we thought, let's just call it Drake Headlines Cover.
Yeah.
You feel me? And it's going to be hella big. And then we did that, and that's how my first shit like popped off.
Yeah, that's
trying to like figure out little ways to like get traction on the internet.
Well, that's the thing about YouTube. Like, I do like some consulting on YouTube sometimes and shit, and like people ask me like, oh, songs to cover, and I'm like, like, if it isn't super old and a clever idea, like, it needs to be something that literally just came out hours ago.
Yeah.
Because people are going to learn it that fast and fucking put it up, and then it's going to be inundated. You know what I mean?
Yeah, especially if it's somebody like Drake that, like, covers are looked for. So it was just a win-win situation.
Yeah, like, if somebody's trying to cover a fucking Lady Gaga song, you better be in the studio with her fucking covering it while she's recording it. Because otherwise, it comes out, there's going to be a thousand of them.
Yeah.
And you're just going to get lost in the mix.
And if you're the very first cover that's on YouTube, it's like your shit's just going
to go
hell of views.
And
at first I was like, nah, I don't want to do this. This is lame. And so I just freestyled the whole thing.
Yeah.
And then that's the entire reason. Like, people started looking at
my
videos.
And did you notice like subscribership grew pretty fast with that?
Oh yeah. No, our subscribership got to like, I don't know how many subscribers that YouTube channel is on now, but it for sure got to like 12,000 or something like hella fast after that video.
Yeah.
And that video got a million some views. Our next video is getting
500,000
views.
How long did that one take to get a million?
It got a million like last year.
Yeah.
So I'll say like 2 years.
But it broke
something.
Like 100K pretty fast.
Yeah, it broke 500K hella fast.
Yeah, there you go.
And that trickled on to all my other music videos.
Exactly.
And so now those all have at least over 100,000 views like, per thing.
No, yeah, because I remember when I saw, we were talking about this earlier, but like when I saw the video
Keep It Real.
I think I saw it maybe 3 or 4 days after it came out, and it had already a few hundred thousand views.
Yeah.
I'm one of those people where I look at, like, numbers make sense to me. So yeah. I start looking at the likes and the dislikes and the amounts of comments. And because I was like, maybe this is paid for.
Yeah.
And then I was like, oh no, these are fucking real views.
You know, just a fine Southern gentleman.
Like, hey, I'm like, this motherfucker's really swagging it out here. Yeah. I'm like, I never heard of him, but he's obviously killing it. And so, yeah, like, I could tell that you guys and your team has like a grasp of YouTube and you're doing good.
Yeah. That's, I mean, I think my very best thing out of anything I do, whether it be writing or this or that or performing, has to be just having visuals. Yeah. Every visual, I think I just have the best, like, I mean, obviously there's like people like maybe don't have the budget to compete for, but in my level, I think my very best skill is visuals. Every visual I put out, we put hella time into and we don't release it if it's not tight.
Right.
If it's like not like a, oh wow, this video is hella good. Like we're not trying to put that out.
Yeah, which is an important thing. It's important to have a good filter for yourself, whether it be with writing or visuals. If it's not good, don't put it out because people only remember the last thing you put out.
Yeah, we're not trying to put out any mediocre video. Like our videos are like all super good. At least from, you know what I'm saying, what I hear from other artists and shit.
Yeah.
And what we believe is like that we just have a high quality video.
Yeah, I've seen them. I jerk off to them.
Oh, okay.
That's terrible. So the videos start catching on, and then what is the catalyst that makes you move to LA, and like how did you get involved with indie pop?
Well, Nolan had known Carnage.
Yeah.
No, DJ Carnage.
Yeah. Shout outs to Ham on Everything. They've had him play some of their parties, I think.
Yeah, I mean, shout out to Carnage.
Shout out to Carnage.
He's the shit.
Yeah.
He had told him, like, he had showed him my stuff, and we were like, you know, let's like get a session, let's work. And I went over there and I made that song, Silver Platter, with him, like, just the first day, just on some, like, fun shit. And he showed me to like the Cataracts and like Indie Pop and like all those people, and they were like, yeah, like we should work with him too. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of how that gap bridge. Carnage is the one who like introduced us to them.
And this is why you're still in Ventura?
That's why I'm still in Ventura.
Yeah.
And
how did he hit you up? Just like through Facebook or some shit?
No, I don't know. He like knew Nolan somehow. They had met each other like on the road or something.
Yeah.
And and then he made that whole thing happen.
And so you moved down. Did you just have a meeting and it was just like everybody vibed?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, we just had like, we had a meeting and I was just around the office a lot with them. You know what I'm saying? Just like hanging out with them.
Like just driving down from Ventura?
Yeah, just driving down to Ventura, whether to go to a show, like whether to work with Carnage.
Yeah.
Like I was just around the office with them for a long time.
Yeah.
And it was like everything just, it was like such like a family feel like from the beginning. You know what I'm saying? Everything was super, super small and super close, and I got to the point where I just felt comfortable. I was like, been going over there for fucking months.
Yeah.
You feel me? I just felt comfortable, and then I was just like, yeah, we should work with them. And then we decided to move down there.
Yeah. So what's the move been like? Do you miss Ventura? Bangtura?
Sometimes, bro, honestly, I miss that. I miss it so bad, like when it comes to like just chilling and stuff and like inspirational shit.
Mm-hmm.
But Ventura is such, like, it's such a nice landscape and place.
Yeah.
That you can't, like, I don't know how, like, I was even working hard when I lived there. I don't know how I was doing that now.
Right. Because,
like, now that I'm in L.A., it's like, there's nothing, I don't even want to, like, especially downtown, like, you know what I'm saying? It can be depressing. Like, there's no point to even chill outside like that. All I want to do is be at the studio.
Right.
All I have to do is work. There's nothing else, like, fun to do in downtown besides like fucking work, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So like it's good.
What's your output like? Like, are you someone who's a very prolific writer where it's like you just stop in the studio and a song pops out that day, or is it more of like do you like to write by yourself? What's that like?
You know, I don't know. It's especially when I was in Ventura, for sure it was like I just sat down and the song just, I just shit a song out.
Yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah.
And in LA I've been trying to like, I've been switching it up and shit, you know, I've been in different, it's a different situation.
Yeah.
So it's like I feel like I spent more time writing songs, you know. Now I just like, and especially for this next project, I'm like, I'm trying to, if a song takes, you feel me, 2-3 days, however long, I want to just make sure it's flawless.
Right.
But like, yeah, my writing process is pretty like, I kind of just hear the beat, and if the beat strikes me, I'll just pretty soon know what I want to talk about. And then like these little random like little thoughts about some funny or a little play of words will like pop in, and I'll just like, you feel me? Like,
yeah.
So it's kind of like that.
Yeah. How's the LA girls treating you?
You know, you got bitches, bro. I got, you know,
you got bitches.
I mean,
you got a lady. So then don't dry snitch on yourself. So yeah, you have a lady that you love very much. That's what you said.
I do. I have a lady that I love very much.
That's,
you know,
dope. How long have you guys known each other?
I still got love for the bitches. You feel me? I still not.
I would imagine a young, handsome gentleman like you probably got a lot of girls trying to tempt you on Facebook and such. So
yeah, no,
stay away from those demon women.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm pretty much.
How long have you known your lady?
I'm in love. She's kind of influenced all my songs.
Yeah.
Are either like hate or love songs.
Absolutely.
About her.
There's always one muse that does
yeah,
that.
Yeah. And I've known her for like, I've known her for probably like 4 years.
The funny thing is that even,
like three.
Even if it works or not with you guys, like she'll still, you'll still be writing the love songs about her 6 years from now.
Yeah. I know,
you know what
right?
I'm saying? Like
yeah.
that's just how it works when you got that first that one.
Yeah. Totally. I'm super in love with her. And yeah, it's like every single song I write for some reason, like, I'm either in a bad mood that day or a good mood that
yeah.
day. And it's like, ah, oh, I'm one of these is about to be about you.
Yeah.
You know?
Like, yeah.
So, yeah, nah, but yeah.
Did she move down here with you too?
No, she didn't move down. She still lives in Ventura.
Up in Ventura.
Up in, you know, so
that gives
Ventura,
you an excuse to go back though. There you go.
Yeah. That and like seeing my family and shit.
Yeah.
It's just
for
like
sure.
a vacation.
Absolutely. What's next for you, man?
I still got a ton of more visuals for Beautiful Loser, mm-hmm. my album that I dropped.
Yeah, when did that come out?
805, the area code for Ventura.
Oh,
randomly,
yeah.
August
805.
5th. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, it came out then. And I still haven't released...
Oh, so that just came out?
Yeah, it just came out. And I still haven't released enough visuals for it in my...
How's it going for you? What's the response been like?
Man, super good. It went top 7 on iTunes.
Nice.
Yeah, it got like, you know what I'm saying? It got like a lot of people... who didn't know about me, like, into me and got, like, my shit buzzing now.
Yeah.
It, like, set me up to, like, deliver, like, a home run. You know what I'm saying?
You play shows around L.A.?
Yeah, I did. I've done a couple shows, either opening for somebody, and I did my own show at True Hollywood.
Oh, okay. Is that, like, a club?
Yeah, it's like a club, but it's randomly, like, a concert venue, too.
Have you ever tried to throw, like, do you have a booking agent and shit like that?
Yeah. I'm with CAA, like, Kara Lewis.
Oh, dope, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Do you know what your draw is around here? I'd be curious.
I mean, I don't know. We did. We like packed True, and that's like it was cracking in there.
That's dope.
I mean, LA is weird because it's like
it is weird.
It's like the cool. Like
there's
you know
a
me?
Method
like,
to the madness. Throwing show. I'm starting to finally fucking crack the matrix with how to get people to show up for shows. If you ever wanted to throw a show, I'd help you.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, we gotta look into that.
Yeah.
LA is like a weird place to.
It
like,
is a very fucking
throw
weird
shows.
Place.
You never know.
But that's
you
the thing
me?
Is that there's a lot of well. With an artist like you, where you have built your own fucking following, you know what I'm saying? And and even though you're on the outskirts of the machine, you're still kind of like with a big indie and like you have your established fan base.
Mm-hmm.
There are venues where you can go outside of the system.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That are kind of like off the map, off the grid. And if you promote it right, your whole fucking fan base will show up
we'll
and it'll
be there.
And
yeah.
it'll be like a legendary type thing.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like that's the real shit.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Yeah. Every time we go to Ventura, we do that for sure.
Yeah,
like
absolutely.
I'm sure
you're probably at the point where you could do that here, you know?
Yeah. I mean, cause especially cause that show was like right when we dropped it.
Yeah.
And like, I mean, all my like statistics have like doubled since then.
Yeah.
So like, I don't know, you know, but I'm just like the type of dude, like before I try to like fucking beg people to come to a show,
absolutely.
I'd rather just keep working.
Nah, you don't gotta beg though.
And you know what I'm saying? But I'd rather just keep putting out material to the point it's like
they demand it.
Yeah, you feel
well,
me?
That's the whole thing. Yeah. Rarity, you know, like keeping shit rare is a benefit too. You know, the less you play, the more people want to see you play as well.
Yeah.
Do you have plans to get on the road?
Yeah. I mean I did like a 10-city tour thing.
How did it go?
Like a 10-show tour. It went good.
Yeah.
It went good. We got to, it's really just like the Western.
Yeah.
You know, we did shit in Arizona and we did shit like from the bottom of California to the top.
Yeah.
That's like hella cities in between there, you know.
It's that standard kind of Southwest run
where
you like loop down and through the states.
Like,
yeah, it's a little circle for sure. That's good. It went good though?
It's like a B.
Yeah. It went good?
Yeah, it went good. And so, yeah, I don't know. I'm maybe, you know, going on the road with somebody else, like a bigger act.
Who could you see yourself going out on the road with?
This like, who would I want to?
How about this? I've got two options. Who is the dream that you would want to go out with?
Yeah.
And then who is a realistic good fit?
Okay.
Yeah.
The dream.
Because, like, my dream is going out with Drake.
I mean,
homo, not going out with him, but going on the road with him would be amazing.
I would want to say that too, but I just get like, I had too much like weird Drake, like,
comparisons
and shit too, but that's still a huge influence for me. But I just went to this Kanye West show.
Oh, how was it?
Wow.
Yeah.
life has changed.
You go first night or second night?
Second night.
Oh,
if,
yeah.
If I ever got to go on the road with somebody, yeah, it'd for sure be him.
Be Kanye?
I mean, just like...
He didn't have an opener for that, did he? Oh, no, yeah, wait, yeah, Kendrick. Kendrick. Yeah, Kendrick. Yeah, yeah, Kendrick.
I mean, I was just like, what?
Wow.
He had a mountain.
Yeah, I saw that.
And he brought out Jesus. It's like some people bring out their friends, or like, yeah, somebody, yeah, could even bring out Dr. Dre. It's like... Cuz brought out Jesus,
like,
you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. And it wasn't even an actor, it was literally Jesus.
I mean, Jesus came.
He literally resurrected.
The actor was late. I guess, yeah, the actor was stuck in traffic and they're like, fuck, like, what are we gonna do? And Kanye's like, I got this, guys.
How amazing would it have been if it was like a, instead of an actor, it was a Jesus hologram, so it really looked like Jesus.
Some weird Jesus,
that would have been
shit.
So tight.
Or if it's like the actor comes out, they have the actor come out, and then like randomly, like the top of the stadium breaks, yeah, open, it's like, and they have somebody float in, like the real Jesus is,
yeah,
here. And you feel me? The actor dies for, yeah, some reason.
for blasphemy.
Yeah.
So who do you think a realistic fit to go on the road with would be? Or like, you know, an achievable goal perhaps. And I ask you this because I think maybe that's a good place for people listening to could have a grasp of like, oh, if I like this, then I will like Kyle.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I'd really want to go on the road with like Gambino or like Chance or,
yeah,
somebody, you,
oh,
know,
man,
what I'm saying?
I'm a big Chance fan.
Yeah, super. I'm a huge Chance fan too.
Chance, I love that,
yeah,
too. Yeah.
Yeah, and I met him one time and I seen his show. I actually opened for him in one show in like Santa Barbara.
Oh, at Velvet Jones?
Yeah, Velvet Jones.
Swag.
Yeah. I watched the show and it was super tight. So yeah. I'd like to tour with him too.
Low key, I've never announced this on the show, but we were supposed to have Chance on the show.
Really?
Like as maybe our like 10th or 11th episode,
right before
it went kaboom.
Yeah.
Like I actually was in touch with his manager, but they got tied up in LA on their last day here and they couldn't make it. So it was unfortunate because now it's like that motherfucker's, yeah, way too famous all,
yeah,
of a sudden.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm curious. Santa Barbara is such a hard market for shows, for rap shows. Was Velvet,
yeah,
Jones cracking for Chance?
Oh,
super,
yeah,
cracking.
Yeah. It was like double sold out.
That's
shit.
Good. Yeah, that's good. Because I always hear, oh yeah, they had to play two shows.
Yeah,
that
they
night,
fucked
right?
it up. They like they,
yeah,
sold more tickets than
I remember
the
that.
Place could fit.
Because I remember I've heard about like some acts that are like really blowing up and that are fucking dope as shit playing at Velvet Jones and nobody shows up because,
yeah,
like they don't really promote that well.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I mean, yeah, Velvet Jones is weird. They always have some. They always have people. They always have somebody super cracking.
Yeah,
I remember like my first show that I was like, damn, I want to see this person was like Big Sean.
Oh yeah,
and I opened up for Big Sean and Velvet Jones.
You did?
Yeah,
dope.
Like, they'll randomly just have like,
yeah,
everybody who's next up,
yeah, yeah,
kind of.
Man, I've opened for so many people at Velvet Jones, ridiculous.
Yeah,
but, yeah. At one point, speaking of Kanye, I opened for Rhyme Fest at Velvet Jones.
Oh, really?
Like back in like 08 or something when,
yeah,
like brand new started cracking.
Mm.
And I remember like during his set, he would always call up somebody to like rap Kanye's verse on brand new. And he's like, does anybody have it memorized? And I was like, I do. And got up there and just murdered Kanye's verse.
Amazing.
It was so tight.
That's
dude.
So tight.
It actually low-key got me laid that night.
Really?
Yeah, just from knowing Kanye's verse. Because nobody was there for my set. It was like,
yeah,
my set was mad early. But yeah, so that was
that's
amazing.
Actually epic, bro.
Yeah. So anyways, man, where can the people find you online?
SuperDuperKyle.com.
SuperDuperKyle.
If you guys want to go to that. Or you could just... you know, I don't know, YouTube Kyle. Just go to YouTube and type
and
in
just
Kyle.
Search Kyle and you'll pop up.
K-Y-L-E,
damn,
yeah,
your SEO is strong,
you
then,
feel me,
bro.
You feel me, bruh? You are on this online marketing.
You just changed your Twitter name, right? From something to something.
It was Super Duper Kyle like,
yeah,
like a year ago.
Yeah.
And then it was Love Kyle throughout like the whole Beautiful Loser run. I was,
yeah,
kind of going with like, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That whole thing. And then once that was like kind of done and I got off like the tour, I switched it back to Super Duper Kyle.
So you can, so on Twitter, you can switch back and forth. You just,
yeah,
can't switch it more than once or like to, you can't switch it to a third new name, right?
You can, oh yeah, you can't. But
you
can switch as many times as you want. But the thing is, I remember when I first switched it from Super Duper Kyle, some kid took to Twitter and was like, yes,
oh,
this is going to pay off one day.
He
like,
took your Super Duper,
yeah,
Kyle?
Yeah, he took it.
So then what happened? You had to pay
him? We did not, I don't think we had to, nah, we didn't have to pay that nigga. We were just like...
You were like, we got this trademarked or something?
Yeah, no, nah, we just... I think he was just like... He was a cool kid, so he wasn't going to literally like jeopardize my entire shit. Just,
yeah,
to like, but like, yeah, you just got to make sure when you switch it, just get it on some separate random account so you,
yeah,
can go back when,
yeah,
you want.
And then,
you know,
delete that account or something.
Yeah, because like, we're holding on to Love Kyle too, just in case I ever want to like...
Yeah, I feel you.
Yeah.
Yeah, man. Well, fuck, I appreciate you coming in, man.
Man, thank you.
Yeah.
It was tight.
What are you going to perform today?
I'm going to do a track called Girls, Girls, Girls.
Oh, and the Jay-Z song. I know that one. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that is a tight song, though. Yeah, mine's is not as cool. But, yeah, I'm going to...
say that. It's probably better.
Yeah,
come on.
Is,
no.
Yeah.
So you're going to do Girls, Girls, Girls. What is...
It's like, yeah, it's probably better. Yeah, it's probably no.
No, I'm going to do girls for you guys.
And that's off Beautiful Loser?
It's off Beautiful Loser. Bonus, if you bought the iTunes one.
Okay, so it's a bonus track.
You feel me?
Yeah, and so they can find Beautiful Loser on superduperkyle.com?
Yeah, there's a free version.
And then there's a bonus track.
And then
track.
There's a bonus edition that's on iTunes.
Yeah, the deluxe.
You know, the deluxe. So you don't have to buy Beautiful Loser.
But go holler at the deluxe version.
Holler at the deluxe version if you want to hear that real trap shit.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Yeah, keeping it true.
That real ATL shit.
Yeah, everybody's dying in his raps.
No, I'm saying my foot, little nigga, no.
Whoa.
Nigga, you know.
That's a good New Orleans.
Yeah.
Be a bit.
Randomly, yeah, right?
Yeah. Anyhow, man.
More blah, man. Yeah, okay.
I'm going to do my fucking spiel now where I go, hey, thank you guys for tuning in. My name is Lee. Some of you might know me as Intuition. You can follow me on Twitter at It's Intuition. You can follow my man behind the boards, making the shit sound buttery, Ben Shim at I Am Database, base with two S's. Follow us as a unit at That's Kinda Neat. YouTube.com/That's Kinda Neat, where you're going to see my man Kyle perform Girls, Girls, Girls. Make sure you use fucking... Oh, the crowd is going crazy for him. Make sure that you guys subscribe to the YouTube channel. Don't be a fucking hater. And then you can find everything wrapped up in a pretty package on kindaneat.net. And of course, our Facebook page, facebook.com/kindaneat. And that was it. Kyle, thanks, man. That was painless. It was a good conversation.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah,
that's
thanks,
that was
man.
Hella simple. Yeah. Thank you.
That's it. That's kinda neat.
Wessa. That's good.